By the way, if you didn't catch the interview this morning, Ken Daniels was on with the morning show. You can go listen to it. Once again, there's no urgency. You know, Jim kind of got into it a little bit. And it's this idea of, oh, I don't know if it's playoffs or bust. Really? No, actually it is. Like, for those of us that aren't on the payroll, it is. What on God's green earth? Like, when am I allowed to just say, make the playoffs or leave?
You're not.
So, no.
Not as long as Eichmann is there? No.
No,
you can't, because you're the bad guy if you do that.
It's crazy to me. We're already tempering expectations for the upcoming season. No. No.
You heard that too.
And we're not doing it as a topic because like eight people care. But right. Rico, I was shocked.
I was, but then I was like, you know what? I'm not, because it would mean that you start the clock. And you know how teams around here don't want to start the clock. Because, you know, you got to wait for the core and all of that stuff. It's a commonplace.
It's a good segue. You talk about starting the timeline. Our three football teams, the Lions are the only one with a clear definition of success. Super Bowl. That's it. Put them to the side. We are under 2 weeks to college football. And we have done next to no conversation on the field about Michigan and Michigan State. I would like to know, both from the people in this room, but also you, the listener, what defines success for Michigan and Michigan State this fall? If you're a Wolverine, you're coming off the national title. I don't have a good gauge on what you... I don't even know if you care, to be quite honest. I think many people are still drunk from beating Washington. And that's fine. But what would be the minimum of success this fall? For Michigan State, the whole program has been torn down. And now you've got year zero of Jonathan Smith. Nobody really thinks much of the team. The over-under in Vegas is 4.5. Michigan's is 8.5, by the way. That's no great shakes. What would define success? So I wanted to have the conversation to understand somewhat you guys, but mainly our listener base. Like, what would make you feel like the year was a success? And you choose your side here. But the Lions, we know it. Super Bowl. But what is it for Michigan and Michigan State?
See, for me, I don't know what people are going to say. For the Lions, you got to get back to the NFC Championship game. And preferably, you have the game here in Detroit. That means that you are part of the elite, because getting to the Super Bowl requires some luck. So I'm not going to just simply say, well, if you don't make the Super Bowl, it's a bad thing. But you should. You have enough talent. You should make it back to the NFC title game, and then you see what happens. And you saw what happened last year. It was a little bit of luck that went there against them, and they didn't make it. For Michigan, I think it boils down to 9 games. But I'm with you. I think this is the house money year for Wolverine fans. You don't really care. There's a lot going on. But you know what? I got my natty and whatever. If the team goes out and wins, great. If they don't, I'll just go back and rewatch the Washington game 12 times this year if I have to on every Saturday night in case we start losing games. But I think 9 wins for Michigan says, okay, new quarterback, new coach, 9 wins. You're in the talk for one of the playoff spots. That would be successful. For MSU, you're starting at rock bottom. Like this program bottomed out. I would say you're looking at twofold, 7 wins, and there's a 4-week period where you're going to be playing 4 top 25 teams. Can you not embarrass yourself? Can you score points? Can you at least be in the games and not just get lapped 4 straight weeks in a row? Because I think that would absolutely kill any momentum that Jonathan Smith is having.
Yeah, I'll wait till last. David, I want to know where you're at both of these. What is the definition of success for Michigan and Michigan State this fall? Define it. I'll throw the number out, 248-539-9797. What is it?
For Michigan State, I would agree with Rico, 7-5. Look 7-5 and have a competent offense, I would say. For Michigan, it's at least 9-3, but I think it's more important to me that you found your quarterback. So if you happen to win 8 games and you found your quarterback, one more loss in there, okay. Find your quarterback this season.
David, I'm not trying to add insult to injury, but talking to four different Michigan people over the weekend gave me four different starters.
That's what I'm saying, man.
And these were like insiders. These are the people in the know. And he said, no, not that guy. It's going to be this one. No. This person doesn't know what they're talking about. I don't think they know.
That's why. Find your quarterback. That's what I need this season. That's success.
All right. So David with an off-board selection. Record is secondary. Find a quarterback. All right. Kenny, what is success for Michigan and Michigan State?
Michigan State, I'm with basically all of you. Seven or so wins show that you're at least have a pulse offensively. For Michigan fans right now, I think this is house money. I agree with Rico. I think right now they could win six games. They could win seven games. And Michigan fans are going to be like, well, that doesn't matter to me. We have our natty. We have our ring, whatever. And I know David hangs his head over there, but
Kenny, you're
I think that's the case.
If Michigan, let's just say they won six games, you know, it's the NCAA's fault. A distraction. You know what? Wait till next year because we won the natty and they were just punishing us for winning that. So they set us up to fail.
I don't even think it needs to be that deep. I think Michigan fans just go, they'll put their hands up and be like, well, doesn't matter. We have our natty.
No.
I don't even think it goes that deep.
I disagree with the last part. They always need a boogeyman. They're the rich kid who blames everybody else for their problems. No, they need a boogeyman. They'll find someone to blame. Hell, they might blame you. The point I'm making is, look, for Michigan, I'm more in line with David. I don't think most fans would tolerate seven wins. I think eight would leave a bad taste in their mouth, but depending on how it looked and what circumstances surrounded it, nine is where success is real. You go 9-3, the committee will break their own spine to put you in the playoff. That's success. To me, I don't know that they'll get there. We're not going to do some team preview. I already did that today with Cash Ticket. I just, for State, I'll continue to say it. It's unacceptable to go 4-8, 5-7 at a program like that. You have top 20 revenue at your disposal. You have top 20 attendance. No, our stadium's not 100,000. It's like 78. I mean, Christ, you got an NIL fund. You were able to pay your quarterback seven figures. I just, if you don't win seven games in year one or minimum six, the hell are we doing? For me, it is a lot like what David said about Michigan. Show me that you spent money the right way and we have a quarterback. Run the touchdown play at a decent rate. And can we win some games? I know it's year zero. And I know it'll take time. I won't be happy at 6-6. I won't be happy at 7-5. I'll be tolerant. Show me we have adults coaching this team.
Yeah. See, for me, Mike, it's three seasons for MSU. The first four and the last four games, I expect you to be competitive and
the
win a lot.
The middle four is an assassination.
It's the middle four. Can you just, we were joking and saying, man, when it gets close, what if I gave you the over-under of 16.5 total points that they would score in those four games? And I was kind of saying it in a jokingly manner, but not really, because you don't do well against top teams. So can you at least show me you've made steps to be competitive? And yes, I know I'm sitting here asking for a moral victory and juice boxes and orange slices.
Yeah, but when
and
it's
all
year
of that.
Zero of a program that's lost all of its pride, it's lost all respect. Yeah, you had a coach light $82 million on fire in a hotel room. Like, listen, the bar is low. Yeah. I'm with you. You're okay in year zero. If you're talking like this next year, right, I'll have a real problem. 248-539-9797. Listen, if you guys want to talk about cotton candy burritos, go somewhere else. Figure it out. Let's get a little college football in the mix today, shall we? Now, here's my question, David. What if the team goes 8-4, you found your quarterback, but you get pulverized by Ohio State? Embarrassed.
Okay. See, I don't want to be embarrassed by Ohio State.
You know what the game of the year line is on that?
I don't think I want to know.
Ohio State minus 11.5.
Yeah, I don't.
That doesn't mean it'll be that down the line.
It could change.
I'm just telling you what it is today.
I was going to say 2.5.
Wow. 11.5.
Okay.
I was just wondering what role the OSU game plays in your vantage as a Michigan fan.
Right, because I believe it's going to be a loss, but we cannot not get embarrassed in that game. No way.
I was about to say, Mike, what if the flip side, MSU goes 8-4, but in those four games, they get pummeled.
Fine.
And they score a total of 10 points.
Don't care. I don't care.
Okay.
They could all be 56-0. 8-4, year one, done. Where do I sign? That's how low the program is. But 8-4 would give you some level that, A, pieces are there, they're getting coached up. Rico, I'd sign the paper. I said this. If you could tell me Michigan State could make the playoffs on a once every
4-5 years.
Once every 3 years,
okay,
I'll sign a piece of paper. They lose 8 out of 10 to U of M. If you want me to have a mindset shift of what college football is, I will let go of the rivalry stuff if my team is getting a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to get back to the point where we're on even terms or beating Michigan at a consistent level. They are eons away from that. Now, I think you can't use the last 3 years as, oh, well, this is what Michigan football is now. No, it's not. In fact, you're the lowest ranked defending champ in 50 years. And the roster had huge losses. You know what you didn't do? Go to the portal and fix it. Yeah. So I do think Michigan will come down to earth a little bit. All jokes about binoculars and cameras aside.
No, their defense will be there offensively. That's where I think they may struggle. Where, you know what? You may see your team, as much as you like to make fun of Iowa, you could become Iowa of last year or the last couple of years where,
oh dear,
the defense carried you. You won. Iowa won a lot of games. Wasn't pretty.
I had a fun stat. So there are 8 teams in modern college football history that have had an offense as bad or worse than what Iowa did last year. 8. Okay? They won an average of how many games?
The 8 teams?
Mm-hmm. What was the average win total of those teams?
I'll say 4.
2.7.
Okay.
Last year, Iowa won 10.
Mike, all I got to say
that's
is
crazy.
Kind of how you made money off of Michigan when they were winning. Oh, I made money off of Iowa and the ineptitude.
The under?
You took the under. You parlayed that in any other bet. So anytime touchdown plus Iowa under to juice it up. And it worked.
Do you know how many touchdowns they scored in 14 games last year? Offensive touchdowns.
14, wasn't it? Tell me I didn't do my homework.
No, it's unspeakable. Yes. It really is.
You averaged 1 touchdown a game.
It's insane.
And some of those, special teams.
All right, not sure where your head is at. You don't want to talk college football, good for you. You can go somewhere else. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Your baseball team blows. Your hockey team makes no effort to have expectations. The Lions are a Super Bowl team. We ain't going to break down nothing there, and the Pistons don't exist. I have asked the question, what is the minimum bar of success for Michigan and Michigan State? We've given you what I think are pretty level-headed answers. Let me ask this one question. There's a big difference between these two teams. And, well, obviously, one of them won the national title and the other lost their dignity in a hotel room. For Michigan, there is no quarterback. As Rico put it, you talk to 5 people, they give you 5 different answers. I can't believe with a straight face, I'm like, geez, Tuttle might be their quarterback. The flip side of it is, Michigan State, now again, this is not me endorsing this. I am simply telling you what's out there. There are many outlets. Whether you looked at transfer portal rankings, whether you look at hype, people discussing it, MSU got, according to some, the number 2 or 3 QB in the transfer portal. Now, I find that difficult to believe when you've had 57 snaps in your life. But Aiden Chiles, best recruit to go to Oregon State in a long, long time. He followed his coach, Michigan State, and a lot of dead presidents. My point is, is there anything for you, Rico, David, Kenny? I'm asking. If Aiden Chiles is actually legit, you guys know what happens in college football. If you've got a quarterback, that's the cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it matters in the NFL, it's the only thing that matters in college. Like, is there an opportunity that Aiden Chiles could just be that good, that exciting, that magnetic, that they could get to 7 wins? And like, I don't know, not be an embarrassment? Or is it wrong to put that all on a kid?
It's not wrong, especially when you're getting paid a lot of money to come there. So no, you have to, it comes with the pressure of the job. I said it a few weeks ago, and you know, you guys kind of laughed at me.
Uh-oh, receipts, David.
No, it's not a receipt. But if Aiden Chiles is that, and he could cover up the warts of this team this year, it could be very Kenneth Walker-esque, where you found out after the year when K-9 left, offensive line was horrible. Team wasn't that good, but Walker was such a special player that MSU goes out there and wins 11 games. And you start to think, got your coach paid $100 million. Donations came in, and State fans thought, we've arrived. We've turned the corner. Tuck coming. Instead, you ended up with where you are right now. Yeah, if Childs is as advertised, he maybe could cover up. Because like you said, Mike, if you got the quarterback, you got the cheat code in college football. If you got a dual threat guy who could score for you and do some things, then yeah, you can not only win games, but maybe try to pull off an upset in that four-game death row that you got to go through. So it's possible. Doesn't mean that the team is better. It just means that if he's that good, he could cover up a lot of the warts.
Yeah, no, and that was my whole point. Is like, I don't – look, man, if you got five quarterbacks, you don't have one.
See, that I think is going to be problematic because it's the fact that if Childs goes out there and has a bad game or throws a pick, he's not looking at the sideline.
No, there's no one there.
Right, but if you're one of those quarterbacks at Michigan and you throw a pick – you're sweating bullets because now you got to go to the back of the line and wait your chance again about seven games later.
David, you're putting your head down. I didn't throw any shade.
No. It's not even about the Michigan thing. It's about what you said. You said, is it unfair to the kid? Sorry, buddy. You're getting paid a lot of money according to reports.
So, just so I'm clear, I'm no longer a bad person.
Mm-mm. No.
I okay. No. Listen. This is a seven-figure player.
And I don't call you a kid anymore.
It's time to be an all-Big Ten quarterback. I don't know what else to tell you.
That's what has to happen now.
Like, if Caleb Downs, who's the highest-paid safety in the history of college football, goes to Ohio State and is anything other than awesome. Mm-hmm. See, this is where my opinion on college football has changed. I've lost the ability to be remotely nice.
Right.
No. Now I hate them like the New York Giants.
No, patience is gone. Because it used to be, okay, your first year there, I'm going to give you time to get your feet wet.
Right.
Second year, you're going to make improvements. By year three, I expect results. Now, you got a $1 million paycheck. I need results now. You got to justify why they paid you.
I think for Michigan, David, the way I would look at it, if we separate, take all the off-field stuff and throw it out, and who knows what's going on there, and I don't care. I'm so sick of talking about it. The point I make is, I think it's important that no matter what happens against Ohio State, which you are prohibitive underdogs against, keep the momentum going. And what I mean is, if you get to 9-3, and you're getting in the playoff at 9-3, there's no world Rico's TV network friends are keeping Michigan out. I think if you were able to keep that momentum going after losing an entire coaching staff with everything going on off the field and you lost, here's reality outside looking in at U of M football. You lost your quarterback. You lost one of the all-time great running backs you've had. Three of your top four wide receivers. The entire offensive line, and it was the best offensive line in the history of school. All five starters, gone. Rod Moore's dead. Sab transferred. You lose so much. 13 guys to the draft. And the schedule, thank God all your toughest games are at home, but this isn't the bakery you played last year, filling up on cupcakes. If you can keep the momentum going, David, I think it means you found your quarterback. I think it means you found your coach.
Mm-hmm.
I just
That's
think
fair.
Keeping that momentum going to where the winged helmet in the playoff is now the assumed norm, I think that is absolute success.
Whereas you're looking at Michigan will be in the playoffs four out of every 5 years or five out of every 6 years,
yes,
where maybe there's the anomaly that they don't make it because of an injury or something like that. It's just a given. Kind of how we always talk, Alabama or Georgia will always be in the playoffs. With the 14-team playoff, Michigan, if that's the case, will always be in there.
I'm just so focused on the quarterback thing for me because we have five, and it's like, oh, my gosh. I don't want Michigan fans to go to that Texas game and we look possibly not up to par because we don't have a quarterback yet. And they say, oh, my gosh, here we go. Because your quarterback can still be found after that.
Yeah.
That's the second game of the year.
Hey, I can attest to it. If You don't have the right quarterback in an early game, it can cost you something. See Connor Cook.
Oh, I
thought you can't have it.
I thought you were talking about Noah Kim's entire existence.
Hey, he's a chandelier or whatever they
are. It's a Chanticleer. 248-539. Off and running. We'll get a couple of phone calls and some ticket texts momentarily.
Wow.
The Coastal Carolina Chandeliers.
Chanticleer, chandelier, tomato, tomato. It's Noah Kim.
All right, let's get to the people. We'll go to Dre in Southfield, see what he's got to say. Dre, how you doing, buddy?
My boys, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Dre? What's on your mind?
Well, for one, I don't have the time. I wish I could have called you guys. You were talking about the whole Michigan and you know, what should happen and all that. But, you know, we'll move on. In terms of my expectation, you know, I think the sweet spot is 9-3 for various reasons. One, the competition level is raising with, you know, a good degree of turnover with personnel, coaching staff, and more importantly, the players. And I think 9-3 would show that, for one, if you're talking about between, you know, Texas, Oregon, Washington, Ohio State, Penn State, and you want to throw in a 16 that could be competitive if you can, but that's five teams right there. So if you're going 9-3, that means you probably got, what, maybe one, two of those games.
Well, you got to take Washington off the list. Yeah, Washington's No, you're good, Dre. I'm just saying they're a 6-win football team per Vegas. Leave them from the rest. Your point is well taken. If you got four or five tough games, you got to be able to get one of them.
Yeah, you got to get one or two. I mean, I think Ohio State, this is one of the first times I've seen in a long time, I think their doors blown off. I mean, I think this, you know, unless Ryan Day truly, truly has, like, it's summer soft of a program, like talent-wise, we're nowhere near close. But overall, you know, what you want to see is, and for a quarterback position, I'm not too worried about it, because I think one thing that if Sherrone Moore is going to stay the path that he had under Harbaugh, which was before J.J., say a guy like Cade McNamara, the quarterback position was really simple. It was just take care of the football, don't turn it over. You know, the ball, you know, one, two reads, get rid of the football. You know, and then with a guy like Orgy, for example, you know, he has to go to the run. So that's what I expect. You know, we were clamoring as a fan base for them to expand the playoff with JJ. So it's not so much there like we're dependent on a high degree playmaker quarterback position to have an offense run the way they want it to run.
Right, but
so
that was when you had a collection over a 3-year period of the best offensive lines in modern Michigan history.
Right.
I got to see what happened, because here's the other thing. Dre, you know, Blake Corum was a constant. He was a heartbeat. Blake Corum reminded me a lot of Rip Hamilton. And what I mean is, like, Rip was the heartbeat of the team. He was the pace setter. Mm-hmm. It would all come back to him. That's what Blake was. Bell cow. Dependable.
Yeah.
Donovan Edwards hasn't shown any.
Correct. And you're 100% correct. And I think Donovan Edwards, for one, I don't even want him being a bell cow, because even with taking 50% of snaps, he tends to get banged up. I think he's going to split time with Mullins and whoever other guys they have back there. But two things can give me confidence, right? I mean, it's not hope. It's confidence that it will at least be competent at two positions, the offensive line and running back. For one, even though I would put Blake as the best running back in the last...
Since Mike Hart.
7 years. Yeah. But I also say, well, think about it. You know, before Blake, you know, we had Hassan Haskins. Before Hassan Haskins, it was Devin Smith, the first guy they had, 15. They tend to find guys who are physical with the football, who take care of it. They're not going to be dynamic and be a Blake Corum. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the track record is that they should not become bad at those positional groups. The offensive line will go backwards.
No. This is the thing. I want to jump in on it because you lose your whole O-line, and here's the deal. You're a defending national champion, and we're talking about an unproven player in Donovan Edwards who's struggled to stay healthy and has never had to be a bell cow, and then the backup is basically a fullback. Cut scene. Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. I mean, it's night and day. Like, I just don't understand what Michigan's offseason plan was. I don't. It's why I talked about it before, where I said, look, Harbaugh got you the natty. All sins are forgiven. He didn't leave you in a great spot. I mean, there is no portal class.
No, Donovan Edwards is good when there's a hole for him to run through, but Blake Corum just found ways to fall forward
every
and
play.
Pick up 3-4 yards when it should have been a loss of one.
Kid was tough as nails. Complete pain in the ass. Go to Jeff, 97.1. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. It's an honor to talk to you guys. Hey, up in East Lansing here. I want to agree with you, Enrico, with what you said as far as 7-5 with a quarterback. I look at Northwestern. My nephew plays linebacker for Northwestern, and I saw him his first year go 1-11 or whatever it was that first 2 years ago. They had a tumultuous situation with the coaching switch right at the beginning of the year. New coach comes in, David Brown. They had a transfer quarterback come in, I'm losing his name. Oh, Ben something. Anyway, Ben Bryant, I think it is. Yeah, Ben Bryant.
Yeah, that was the kid from Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, and they go eight. Well, they roll off with 8 wins and win in Vegas.
They really rallied around the DC. The guy who replaced Fitz.
Yeah. So I think it comes down, like you said, Mike. It is quarterback, and if this guy's special, man, let's just say maybe. And I'm not. Tell me, I'm not. I'm like 46. I don't just drink the Kool-Aid. I used to, but. Now I'm kind of living in reality.
I hear you. No, I mean, Jeff, look, it's one of those things where I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying if you want to hang out of some hope and go, all right, look, success would be 7-5 for Jonathan Smith in year one. At least you have this one of the – I hate saying what I'm about to say. I just want to state that for the record. You have one of the highest paid quarterbacks in America. That's reality.
I mean, I know he's making a lot of money. I didn't know he was one of the highest paid.
There are very few quarterbacks making 7 figures.
Huh.
Dylan Gabriel would be one.
I would figure both of the Oregon quarterbacks.
Think about this. Will Howard is Ohio State's quarterback. Do you realize Will Howard was probably going to lose his job at K-State to Avery Johnson?
Yeah.
So, you start to look in the Big Ten, I don't think it's wrong for Michigan State fans to go, no, day one, Aiden Childs has to be the face of the program. Mm-hmm. It sucks because I know reality is the kid will need some time. But you're not afforded time.
No. And unfortunately, because you took the money, nobody's going to really want to hear, well, give him a little bit. You say
right here.
Yeah.
Hope you're happy with your sport. David, a few ticket texts be kind.
The question is, are you happy with the sport?
Definitely not.
Because I'm trying every day to ruin your life.
David.
Michigan expectations are 10 wins, at least winning one of the big three games and locking a playoff spot. That's E from Monroe. MSU success equals don't get embarrassed by anyone and beat Michigan.
Yeah, okay. You've set up two impossible goalposts. Thanks for playing. Seriously. That's like, what are we doing?
That is.
Yeah. Don't get embarrassed. Cutscene. We're 30-point underdogs in Eugene on a Friday night. beat Michigan.
Played Ohio State 6 days ago.
Right.
Right.
By the way, nice job by the schedule makers. Let's take the four most brutal games in America and stack them all together.
They gave Michigan State a bye week.
Wow. To do what? Run for the border? You'll have defensive linemen faking their own death and starting up like a taco stand. Get me out of here.
Austin at Work says, Michigan fan here. To be honest, if at minimum we beat Ohio State again and lose every other game, I'll be extremely happy.
Wow.
Whew.
I don't know about that one. That's a national championship hangover. I think this year. I'll add this year to that. I don't think he means that every year, but I think, you know
it
what? We got
be
a natty.
Any year.
We got a natty. Let's just keep beating the Buckeyes.
That's Kenny's free roll principle right there. In the pre-show, Kenny talking about it, and Kenny has more contact with listeners than anybody.
Well, he's not a real Michigan fan, that texter. So,
all right. Well, neither are you.
Okay.
Everybody, and one more. It's simply this boys for state playoffs. Bowl game for Michigan State.
Holy hell.
Sorry.
All right, Jesus.
It's okay, Mike.
Calm down. But what's a bowl game?
You know what? No. In year zero, it's a lot. It's extra practices that you need.
For the players who don't opt out or bail on their brothers in arms.
Well, but you know, because here's the thing.
Nice sport.
Maybe you don't bail out because you actually see something happening here.
Everyone's super excited about the life-size Pop-Tart Bowl or whatever it was.
Believe it or not, people were.
I I mean,
it went in a toaster.
It was scary. Everything about that was creepy and scary, and people loved it way too much.
Sorry, guys. Can I get to the fashion glasses? It's a little bit too late. They're somewhere else in this building. Let's talk about some reaction takeaways from the first preseason game. Let's start over there in Denver with 80-year-old Bo Nix. He looked decent in that first game. He led the team to 20 points in his appearance, 15 of 21 for 125 yards and a touchdown. Should he just be named the starter now?
Yes. They don't have any other options. They got a decent enough cast around them. Sean Payton's the QB guru. He's decently insulated. His mobility's a weapon they haven't had in a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, what the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah, it's a bad team. You really don't have any other options. And here's the thing. Dave, we kind of talked about this pre-show. He's a family man. He's got a wife and kids, so he's hungry. He can't go out there and screw this opportunity up. This is it for him, because if he fails, because of his age, probably not going to get another shot at this. So the expectations are low in Denver. Just ride it out. Now, I'm not saying that every game is going to be like that, but it was for a pregame, preseason game. It was impressive seeing him out there and just looking as if it was relatively easy going up against scrubs and vanilla defense.
Yeah, and I like the RPO stuff. Look, you're going to get killed. You're not going to make a living doing that. But if that's a weapon they can break out 3-4 times a game, move them just a little bit forward. There was a moment in time last year they could have made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then they just clown card down the stretch. But yes, David, you got to play the kid.
So let's get to one of the other rookies there in the NFL, and that's Minnesota Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy. I'll read you the stat line, but I think there's something else that's more important that maybe they looked at and wanted. He went 11 of 17, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But most importantly, many writers are writing this, that he looked calm and composed. Is that what you think the Vikings wanted to see with him back in center for the first preseason game?
You go first.
I mean, I think so. For Minnesota and for JJ, your job, don't turn the ball over. I'd rather punt. We'll kick a field goal. Don't force anything. The ball should just throw it out of bounds. It's okay. And you're going to be insulated. You're going to have receivers around you. Now, he didn't have his guys. He had Tristan Jackson was out there, and Jalen Naylor and other receivers.
Yeah, not
he,
the name, the
he
big
doesn't
names.
Have his big, you know, his receivers out there. But yes, this is exactly what you want to see from Minnesota. Because remember, Minnesota had said, yeah, we don't think this kid's going to play. So this is a step up from redshirting your entire first year.
Yeah, I still wouldn't play him. He just wasn't asked to do much of anything in college. And I'm with Rico. The insulation's there. I'm not playing him the first month of the year, first 6 weeks of the year. You got to get – it is so
– Chanticleera, chandelier, tomato, tomato. It's Noah Kim.
All right, let's get to the people. We'll go to Dre in Southfield, see what he's got to say. Dre, how you doing, buddy?
My boys, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Dre? What's on your mind?
Well, for one, I don't have the time. I wish I could have called you guys. You were talking about the whole Michigan and you know, what should happen and all that. But, you know, we'll move on. In terms of my expectation, you know, I think the sweet spot is 9-3 for various reasons. One, the competition level is raising. With, you know, a good degree of turnover with personnel, coaching staff, and more importantly, the players. And I think 9-3 would show that, for one, if you're talking about between, you know, Texas, Oregon, Washington, Ohio State, Penn State, and you want to throw in a 16 that could be competitive if you can, but that's 5 teams right there. So if you're going 9-3, that means you probably got, what, maybe 1-2 of those games.
Well, you got to take Washington off the list. Yeah, Washington's a six. No, you're good, Dre. I'm just saying they're a 6-win football team per Vegas. Leave them from the rest. Your point is well taken. If you got 4 or 5 tough games, you got to be able to get one of them.
Yeah, got to get one or two. I mean, I think Ohio State, this is one of the first times I've seen in a long time, I think we can get our doors blown off. I mean, I think this, you know, unless Ryan Day truly, truly has, like, this sovereign salt of a program, like talent-wise, we're nowhere near close. But overall, you know, what you want to see is, and for a quarterback position, I'm not too worried about it, because I think one thing that if Sharon Moore is going to stay the path that he had under Harbaugh, which was before JJ,
say a guy like Cade McNamara, the quarterback position was really simple. It was just take care of the football, don't turn it over. You know, the ball, you know, one, two reads, get rid of the football, you know. And then with a guy like Orgy, for example, you know, he has to go to the run. So that's what I expect. You know, we were clamoring as a fan base for them to expand the playoffs with JJ. So it's not so much there like we're dependent on a high degree playmaker at the quarterback position to have an offense run the way they wanted to run.
Right, but
so
that was when you had a collection over a 3-year period of the best offensive lines in modern Michigan history.
Right.
I got to see what happened, because here's the other thing. Dre, you know, Blake Corum was a constant. He was a heartbeat. Blake Corum reminded me a lot of Rip Hamilton. And what I mean is, like, Rip was the heartbeat of the team. He was the pace setter. Mm-hmm. It would all come back to him. That's what Blake was. Bell cow. Dependable.
Yeah.
Donovan Edwards hasn't shown any.
Correct. And you're 100% correct. And I think Donovan Edwards, for one, I don't even want him being a bell cow, because even with taking 50% of snaps, he tends to get banged up. I think he's going to split time with Mullins and whoever other guys they have back there. But two things can give me confidence, right? I mean, it's not hope. It's confidence that it will at least be competent at two positions, the offensive line and running back. For one, even though I would put Blake as the best running back in the last
Mike Hart
7 years. Yeah. But I also say, think about it. You know, before Blake, you know, we had Hassan Haskins. Before Hassan Haskins, it was Toussaint. Devin Smith, the first guy they had, 15. They tend to find guys who are physical with the football, who take care of it. They're not going to be dynamic and be a Blake Corum. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is that the track record is that they should not become bad at those positional groups. The offensive line will go backwards.
No. Dre, this is the thing. I want to jump in on it because you lose your whole O-line, and here's the deal. You're a defending national champion, and we're talking about an unproven player in Donovan Edwards who's struggled to stay healthy and has never had to be a bell cow, and then the backup is basically a fullback. Cut scene. Travion Henderson, Quinshon Judkins. I mean, it's night and day. Like, mm-hmm. I just don't understand what Michigan's offseason plan was. I don't. It's why I talked about it before, where I said, look, Harbaugh got you the natty. All sins are forgiven. He didn't leave you in a great spot. I mean, there is no portal class.
No, Donovan Edwards is good when there's a hole for him to run through, but Blake Corum just found ways to fall forward pick up 3-4 yards when it should have been a loss of one.
Kid was tough as nails. Complete pain in the ass. Go to Jeff, 97.1. Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. It's an honor to talk to you guys. Hey, up in East Lansing here. I want to agree with you, Enrico, with what you said as far as 7-5 with a quarterback. I look at Northwestern. My nephew plays linebacker for Northwestern. And I saw him his first year go 1-11 or whatever it was that first 2 years ago. They had a tumultuous situation with the coaching. Switch right at the beginning of the year. New coach comes in, David Brown. They had a transfer quarterback come in. I'm losing his name. Oh, Ben something. Anyway, Ben Bryant, I think it is. Yeah, Ben Bryant.
Yeah, that was the kid from Cincinnati, right?
Yeah, and they go eight. Well, they roll off with 8 wins and win in Vegas.
They really rallied around the DC. The guy who replaced Fitz.
Yeah. So I think it comes down, like you said, Mike, it is quarterback. And if this guy's special, man, let's just say maybe. And I'm not, tell me, I'm like 46. I don't just drink the Kool-Aid. I used to, but now I'm kind of living in reality.
I hear you. No, I mean, Jeff, look, it's one of those things where I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm saying if you want to hang out of some hope and go, all right, look, success would be 7-5 for Jonathan Smith in year one, at least you have this one of the, I hate saying what I'm about to say. I just want to state that for the record. You have one of the highest paid quarterbacks in America. That's reality.
I mean, I know he's making a lot of money. I didn't know he was one of the highest paid.
There are very few quarterbacks making 7 figures.
Huh.
Dylan Gabriel would be one.
I would figure both of the Oregon quarterbacks.
Think about this. Will Howard is Ohio State's quarterback. Do you realize Will Howard was probably going to lose his job at K-State to Avery Johnson?
Yeah.
So, you start to look in the Big Ten, I don't think it's wrong for Michigan State fans to go, no, day one, Aiden Childs has to be the face of the program. Mm-hmm. It sucks because I know reality is the kid will need some time. But you're not afforded time.
No. And unfortunately, because you took the money, nobody's going to really want to hear, well, give him a little bit. As you say.
Right here. Yeah. Hope you're happy with your sport. David, a few ticket texts, be kind.
The question is, are you happy with the sport?
Definitely not.
Because I'm trying every day to ruin your life.
David.
Michigan expectations are 10 wins, at least winning one of the big three games and locking a playoff spot. That's E from Monroe. MSU success equals don't get embarrassed by anyone and beat Michigan.
Yeah, okay. You've set up two impossible goalposts. Thanks for playing. Seriously. That's like, what are we doing?
That is.
Yeah. Don't get embarrassed. Cutscene. We're 30-point underdogs in Eugene on a Friday night. beat Michigan.
Well, just played Ohio State 6 days ago.
Right.
Right.
By the way, nice job by the schedule makers. Let's take the four most brutal games in America and stack them all together.
They gave Michigan State a bye week.
Wow. To do what? Run for the border? You'll have defensive linemen faking their own death and starting up like a taco stand. Get me out of here.
Austin at Work says, Michigan fan here. To be honest, if at minimum we beat Ohio State again and lose every other game, I'll be extremely happy.
Wow.
Woo.
I don't know about that one. That's a national championship hangover. I think this year. I'll add this year to that. I don't think he means that every year, but I think, you know what? We got a natty. We got a natty. Let's just keep beating the Buckeyes.
That's Kenny's free roll principle right there. In the pre-show, Kenny talking about it, and Kenny has more contact with listeners than anybody.
Well, he's not a real Michigan fan, that texter. So,
all right. Well, neither are you.
Okay.
Everybody, one more. It's simply this, boys, for state playoffs. Bowl game for Michigan State.
Holy hell.
Sorry.
All right, Jesus.
It's okay, Mike.
Calm down. But what's a bowl game?
You know what? No. In year zero, it's a lot. It's extra practices that you need.
For the players who don't opt out or bail on their brothers in arms.
Well, but you know, because here's the thing.
Nice sport.
Maybe you don't bail out because you actually see something happening here.
Everyone's super excited about the life-size Pop-Tart Bowl or whatever it was.
Believe it or not, people were.
I'm.
It went in a toaster.
It was scary. Everything about that was creepy and scary, and people loved it way too much.
Sorry, guys. Can I get to the fashion glasses? It's a little bit too late. They're somewhere else in this building. Let's talk about some reaction takeaways from the first preseason game. Let's start over there in Denver with 80-year-old Bo Nix. He looked decent in that first game. He led the team to 20 points in his appearance, 15 of 21 for 125 yards and a touchdown. Should he just be named the starter now?
Yes. They don't have any other options. They got a decent enough cast around them. Sean Payton's the QB guru. He's decently insulated. His mobility's a weapon they haven't had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah, it's a bad team. You really don't have any other options. And here's the thing. Dave, we kind of talked about this pre-show. He's a family man. He's got a wife and kids, so he's hungry. He can't go out there and screw this opportunity up. This is it for him because if he fails because of his age, probably not going to get another shot at this. So the expectations are low in Denver. Just ride it out. Now, I'm not saying that every game is going to be like that, but it was for a preseason game. It was impressive seeing him out there and just looking as if it was relatively easy going up against scrubs and vanilla defense.
Yeah, and I like the RPO stuff. Look, you're going to get killed. You're not going to make a living doing that. But if that's a weapon they can break out 3-4 times a game, move them just a little bit forward. There was a moment in time last year they could have made the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then they just clown card down the stretch. But yes, David, you got to play the kid.
So let's get to one of the other rookies there in the NFL, and that's Minnesota Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy. I'll read you the stat line, but I think there's something else that's more important that maybe they looked at and wanted. He went 11 of 17, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But most importantly, many writers are writing this, that he looked calm and composed. Is that what you think the Vikings wanted to see with him back in center for the first preseason game?
You go first.
I mean, I think so. For Minnesota and for J.J., your job, don't turn the ball over. I'd rather punt, we'll kick a field goal, Don't force anything. The ball should just throw it out of bounds. It's okay. And you're going to be insulated. You're going to have receivers around you. Now, he didn't have his guys. He had Tristan Jackson was out there and Jalen Naylor and other receivers.
Yeah, not
he,
the name, the big name.
He doesn't have his big, you know, his receivers out there. But, yes, this is exactly what you want to see from Minnesota. Because, remember, Minnesota had said, yeah, we don't think this kid's going to play. So this is a step up from redshirting your entire first year.
Yeah, I still wouldn't play him. He just wasn't asked to do much of anything in college. And I'm with Rico. The insulation's there. I'm not playing him the first month of the year, first 6 weeks of the year. You got to get it is so different when he's going to drop into an NFL game, guys, and he's going to have to throw the ball 35, 40 times. Look, you saw it last year, right? Nick Mullins in a small spot could get you. But if you needed Nick Mullins to throw it 40 times, oh, he'd throw for 500 yards, and he would throw four picks. JJ's going to be asked to do things he hasn't had to do. In the interests of the young man who's still a kid, man, he's still 21, I would give him time. I can't speak for the Vikings. I'm saying if the Giants drafted him, you think I would throw JJ out there in the first 6 weeks?
Right, but here's the thing. The second you start seeing all these highlights, this is where you got to compete with the fans and the media. No, hey, when are you going to play JJ? When are you going to play JJ?
Hey, you ready? Here's my view on that. F the fans. I got a business to run.
Well, it's interesting. And here's why this part was interesting, because a business you have to run. They had JJ, Justin Jefferson, mic'd up during that game. And at one point, the touchdown that JJ threw, right before it, Jefferson said, well, he can't throw to his left. He can't throw to his left. And he happened to throw to his left. But the business is Justin Jefferson needs a quarterback that can throw it all over the field. Yeah. And his own teammate knows he can't do it.
No, and I just, again, Addison has a legal situation that's got to resolve. Hawkinson's got a health thing. Give it the 6 weeks. Let's get everybody alive. And then I'm with Rico. Yes, on a fan level, you'd have to play him at some point this year. I think it'd be a terrible error to start the season.
So this is my personal overreaction here, because I now believe after what I saw, the Steelers are going to have a losing record. Justin Fields, 5 of 6, 67 yards, did not look that great. He also fumbled the ball twice. I don't believe in Russell Wilson. Am I overreacting here?
Yes. I'll let Rico take it.
Yes. Yes, you're overreacting, David. It's a preseason game. He's not really getting the rep. Like, first of all, Tomlin just has to pick a quarterback, and his last name's not Wilson. I'm just going to help you right there. And just let Fields is going to come with mistakes, but he's also going to make it up with big-time plays. And no, if you do this the right way, I don't think you're going to have a losing record. I think you may end up at 9-8, but for the Steelers, it'll be enough that they'll find a playoff spot, because that's just what they do.
What do you want me to say?
You make the playoffs, David. You don't win playoff games, but you make the playoffs.
We can't with this quarterback play.
Listen,
David.
The more time goes on, the more I think Russ is the backup.
Yes. I knew that the day he signed.
I didn't, and I'm admitting I was wrong. Now, if you want to rub my face in it like a bad puppy,
it's not.
It was wrong.
No, it's not.
I just...
He's Mr. Dangerous.
No. Yes. I really think this is it. You got to play Fields. You got to give it a shot, see if you catch lightning in a bottle.
Fields is younger, I think. David, you get a receiver around him or just get him some more weapons. Try to make it to 9-8 this year.
What about Joe Milton?
Please.
And there's always a receiver out there that you guys can go and get. He's on the market.
He's going to stay in San Francisco.
You know what? Here, let me get this on the record. I would like to formally apologize to Rico Beard for my smarmy, insensitive, and downright dismissive tone when Rico said I'd like Amari Cooper back in a Browns trade. I was wrong. I didn't think the Browns would be that stupid. And I also didn't realize Brandon Ayuk would be equally as stupid. So I don't know what to say except I'm sorry.
No, Mike, there's no apology.
I would never give your team a Pro Bowl receiver to get another one I have to pay $30 million.
Well, that's why I was like, I was fine. Like, the Steelers are the only trade. Like, they got nothing that I want to see coming back.
What about Pickens?
Not that keeping Pickens.
No, we're going to keep Pickens. Mike, I'll raise you your dumb and stupid with another dumb and stupid as we close out football today, and that is the New York Football Jets. Hassan Reddick has asked for a trade. Of course, they're saying no to it.
He's been here for 4 minutes.
Why would you ever trade for a guy who wants a contract? Surprise, I'm not showing up to camp.
Well, why would you go to a team that you're going to ask for a trade in 4 months? You could just wait.
He has to fire his agent. You got to get a contract and a deal.
But the other problem is the team you were on traded you because they didn't want to give you a deal. What would make you think a new one would? And Hassan Reddick is coming off a poor season.
I got to think at some point he's got enough to have the no trade clause. Like, no, I don't want to go here. You can move me, but just not to the Jets.
But why not play in New York and try to go win a Super Bowl? And if you want that contract, go earn it on the field.
Be all in, yeah.
Novel.
That's what I'm saying. Fire his agent, man. Somebody did something wrong. That is in football today. Sorry, guys. Can I get to the fashion glasses? It's a little bit too late. They're somewhere else. In this building, let's talk about some reaction takeaways from the first preseason game. Let's start over there in Denver with 80-year-old Bo Nix. He looked decent in that first game. He led the team to 20 points in his appearance, 15 of 21 for 125 yards and a touchdown. Should he just be named the starter now?
Yes. They don't have any other options. They got a decent enough cast around them. Sean Payton's the QB guru. He's decently insulated. His mobility's a weapon they haven't had in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell else are you going to do?
Yeah, it's a bad team. You really don't have any other options. And here's the thing. Dave, we kind of talked about this pre-show. He's a family man. He's got a wife and kids, so he's hungry. He can't go out there and screw this opportunity up. This is it for him because if he fails, because of his age, probably not going to get another shot at this. So the expectations are low in Denver. Just ride it out. Now, I'm not saying that every game is going to be like that, but it was for a preseason game, it was impressive seeing him out there and just looking as if it was relatively easy going up against scrubs and vanilla defense.
Yeah, and I like the RPO stuff. Look, you're going to get killed. You're not going to make a living doing that. But if that's a weapon they can break out 3-4 times a game, move them just a little bit forward. There was a moment in time last year they could have made the playoffs. And then they just clown card down the stretch. But yes, David, you got to play the kid.
So let's get to one of the other rookies there in the NFL, and that's Minnesota Vikings quarterback J.J. McCarthy. I'll read you the stat line, but I think there's something else that's more important that maybe they looked at and wanted. He went 11 of 17, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But most importantly, many writers are writing this, that he looked calm and composed. Is that what you think the Vikings wanted to see with him back in center for the first preseason game?
You go first.
I mean, I think so. For Minnesota and for JJ, your job, don't turn the ball over. I'd rather punt. We'll kick a field goal. Don't force anything. The ball should just throw it out of bounds. It's okay. And you're going to be insulated. You're going to have receivers around you. Now, he didn't have his guys. He had Tristan Jackson was out there and Jalen Naylor and other receivers.
Yeah, not
he,
the name, the
he
big
doesn't
names.
Have his big, you know, his receivers out there, but yes, this is exactly what you want to see from Minnesota. Because remember, Minnesota had said, yeah, we don't think this kid's going to play. So this is a step up from redshirting your entire first year.
Yeah, I still wouldn't play him. He just wasn't asked to do much of anything in college. And I'm with Rico. The insulation's there. I'm not playing him the first month of the year, first 6 weeks of the year. You got to get, it is so different when he's going to drop into an NFL game, guys, and he's going to have to throw the ball 35, 40 times. Look, you saw it last year, right? Nick Mullins in a small spot could get you. But if you needed Nick Mullins to throw it 40 times, oh, he'd throw for 500 yards and he would throw 4 picks. JJ's going to be asked to do things he hasn't had to do. In the interests of the young man who's still a kid, man, he's still 21, I would give him time. I can't speak for the Vikings. I'm saying if the Giants drafted him, you think I would throw JJ out there in the first 6 weeks?
Right, but
no
here's the
way.
Thing. The second you start seeing all these highlights, this is where you got to compete with the fans and the media. No, hey, when are you going to play JJ? When are you going to play JJ?
Hey, you ready? Here's my view on that. F the fans. I got a business to run.
Well, it's interesting. And here's why this part was interesting, because a business you have to run. They had JJ, Justin Jefferson, mic'd up during that game. And at one point, the touchdown that JJ threw, right before it, Jefferson said, well, he can't throw to his left. He can't throw to his left. And he happened to throw to his left. But the business is Justin Jefferson needs a quarterback that can throw it all over the field. Yeah. And his own teammate knows he can't do it.
No, and I just, again, Addison has a legal situation that's got to resolve. Hawkinson's got a health thing. Give it the 6 weeks. Let's get everybody alive. And then I'm with Rico. Yes, on a fan level, you'd have to play him at some point this year. I think it'd be a terrible error to start the season.
So this is my personal overreaction here, because I now believe after what I saw, the Steelers are going to have a losing record. Justin Fields, 5 of 6, 67 yards, did not look that great. He also fumbled the ball twice. I don't believe in Russell Wilson. Am I overreacting here? Yes.
I'll let Rico take it.
Yes. Yes, you're overreacting, David. It's a preseason game. He's not really getting the rep. Like, first of all, Tomlin just has to pick a quarterback, and his last name's not Wilson. I'm just going to help you right there. And just let Fields is going to come with mistakes, but he's also going to make it up with big time plays. And no, if you do this the right way, I don't think you're going to have a losing record. I think you may end up at 9-8, but for the Steelers, it'll be enough that they'll find a playoff spot, because that's just what they do.
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say?
You make the playoffs, David. You don't win playoff games, but you make the playoffs.
We can't with this quarterback play.
Listen,
David.
The more time goes on, the more I think Russ is the backup.
Yes. I knew that the day he signed.
I didn't, and I'm admitting I was wrong. Now, if you want to rub my face in it like a bad puppy,
it's not.
It was wrong.
No, it's not.
I just...
He's Mr. Dangerous.
No. Yes. I really think this is it. You got to play Fields. You got to give it a shot. See if you catch lightning in a bottle.
Fields is younger. I think... David, you get a receiver around him or just get him some more weapons. Try to make it to 9-8 this year.
What about Joe Milton?
Please.
And there's always a receiver out there that you guys can go and get. He's on the market.
He's going to stay in San Francisco.
You know what? Here, let me get this on the record. I would like to formally apologize to Rico Beard for my smarmy, insensitive, and downright dismissive tone when Rico said I'd like Amari Cooper back in a Browns trade. I was wrong. I didn't think the Browns would be that stupid. And I also didn't realize Brandon Ayuk would be equally as stupid. So I don't know what to say, except I'm sorry.
No, Mike, there's no apology.
I would never give your team a Pro Bowl receiver to get another one I have to pay $30 million.
Well, that's why I was like, I was fine. Like, the Steelers are the only trade. Like, they got nothing that I want to see coming back.
What about Pickens?
No, they're keeping Pickens.
No, we're going to keep Pickens. Mike, I'll raise you your dumb and stupid with another dumb and stupid as we close out football today, and that is the New York Football Jets. Hassan Reddick has asked for a trade. Of course, they're saying no to it.
He's been here for 4 minutes.
Why would you ever trade for a guy who wants a contract? Surprise, I'm not showing up to camp.
Well, why would you go to a team that you're going to ask for a trade in 4 months? You could just wait.
He has to fire his agent. You got to get a contract and a deal.
But the other problem is the team you were on traded you because they didn't want to give you a deal. What would make you think a new one would? And Hassan Reddick is coming off a poor season.
I got to think at some point he's got enough to have the no trade clause. Like, no, I don't want to go here. You can move me, but just not to the Jets.
But why not play in New York and try to go win a Super Bowl? And if you want that contract, go earn it on the field.
Be all in. Yeah.
Novel.
That's what I'm saying. Fire is Asian, man. Somebody did something wrong. That is in football today.